Yeah?
Good?
Good sound? Awesome. I'll sit over here, otherwise I feel like I'm a tour bus driver on a journey for Jesus. Sorry? Yeah, I'll be right, thanks. I've seen Bernie's photos and it's not quite the place that I want to be. Oh, the Central Coast is magnificent, centre of the universe. Absolutely love it. Everything rotates around here. Hey, thanks for having me come along, guys. I'm not going to do my testimony today, but I think we've got a photo Karen can put up, possibly. I began my Christian journey here in about 2007, 2008, when I was under full addiction with speed, as you can see there in 2006. I still looked like that pretty much when I came here. I looked like Ned Kelly after he got hung, and I weighed about 64 kilos. So I can tell you the Holy Spirit weighs about 32 kilograms. That's the difference now. And the other photo in 2014, I felt like, has anyone seen Benjamin Button? I felt like I was Benjamin Button and getting younger, but time is proving otherwise now. But I really want to thank all you guys in Coast Community for the support of the Pilot's Table. For those that don't know, we're up in Warrington Park. We started in 2012 with another couple who stuck around for about a year, and Sue and I have been running it for the 11 years since. We do a very street-level church. We provide lunch for up to about 70 people every Sunday. We do Friday night pizza in the park. We do a Christmas party where we'll have over 240 people come. We'll have kids' activities. Everyone gets a gift, bags, all sorts of stuff we give away. And it's all about making people feel welcome and loved, which is what I discovered in this church. Because I'd been to church before, and I was shunted to the back. In this church, I sat second row from the front, which Bernie didn't like because I was in heckling range. So I'm glad he's not here today, because there's quite a few paybacks that are due. But God's story over my life is an incredible one, how he's transformed it from that homelessness and that addiction, and then led us into a ministry and working in disabilities. Now I've been there for 13 years. The only thing I'd done for 13 years before that was screw up. And he led me into that job, which I love, in disabilities. And he led us to start the Father's Table. And I struggled at first with the thought, because I had to leave my home. And I loved it here, and I love the people here. It's so nice coming and seeing so many lovely faces, and yours, Dale, yeah. lovely faces from that are truly family. So we've been doing that for a while now, and it's through Coast Community Care that we're able to do that. You know, it takes a lot of money to run what we're running, and our offering bag often comes back with chewing gum wrappers and box of matches and enough money to get a bus to Woi Woi but not home again. And then, so it's through that support, and obviously most people know Bendigo Bank is our major supporter. Awesome bank, give 80% of their profit back into the community. And without them, we would be really lost. And without you guys, we would be lost. So just a quick story before I... Sorry, got to have me vodka. Joking. Maybe, we'll see. Just a quick story from the Father's Table, which I think goes in line with what you guys are up to in Matthew, which is Matthew 6, 19 to 21. A bloke called, we'll call him Fred, mainly because that's his name, and it's much easier, although we often get confused and call him Eric, and I don't know why. But anyway, Fred came along to the Father's Table for some years. Every Sunday, he'd sometimes bring his nieces and nephews up. He was struggling in a lot of ways in life. Don't know the whole story. He hasn't fully let me in there. That's fine. Don't need to know. He knows. And over time, Fred started to change a bit. And he just started getting more intent on listening and being in church and making sure he was there. And one week, normally what happens is the Lord, I'll feel a word come on my heart, or there might be a circumstance that comes. And my messages are very much current life experience based. Dave does more of the teaching principles. I do more of the bringing life into it. And one week I had nothing. I was blank and I was getting angry with the Lord. It's like, come on, give me something. I'm reading bits of the Bible, doing devotionals, nothing. And I didn't even get the one word. And I was driving to church and I'm like, I've got to really count on you today. I always count on it being the Lord's words. It's not mine. It's not for me. It's not about me. It's about him. And as I'm driving to church that day, I'm saying, getting really cranky. I won't say what I was saying to him, because you don't say those words in church. But it was, you know, come on, give me something. And then I had on my heart, do your testimony. I went into a nice little argument with myself and with the Lord about doing my testimony. I've done it before. People have heard it. And then the words came, but there's new people. that haven't heard it. So I went there to church feeling quite uneasy about what was going to happen during that day, and I gave my testimony. At the end of it, a couple of people came up and said, wow, that really was impacting, that really helps me out. In particular, Fred came up and he said, you've got no idea how that spoke to me today. So I know it's about the one person in front of us. You can be in a full room here today and there could be one person that needs to hear the message, or nobody. We'll see what happens. The thing is, and he said, you know, it really impacted him. Now, over the next couple of weeks, Fred would come and see me, and he would got this passion for the Lord, and he was reading his Bible, and he was doing this and that and the other, and he was trying to change his life, and then he got really excited because he was buying a car, and he just got a casual job, and it was magnificent to see that this time that I thought I had nothing, I actually had the most from God. The time where I personally was at my weakest, God was at his greatest. And it's just how often it works like that, because it's not about us, it's about him. And that message was perfectly timed. And then Fred sort of dropped off, and he'd come back every now and then, and he was doing quite well. And then we're going to do the church shopping the other week on the way in, and bumped into him in Coles over there at San Remo, and he was mopping the floors. That was his job. And he just said how that moment changed his life, and he'd started going to another church. That's fine. He's still connected to the body. It's all one body. It's not about us keeping everyone in with us. It's about us expanding into the kingdom. We're not just working as an individual unit. We're part of the body. And he showed me this video with this big smile on his face. It was him getting baptized. It's like, yes, thank you. We've got that one. You know, I know we've got a lot more than that. But the seeds we plant, we don't often see. We're called to plant them. We're not called to grow them. We're called to plant the seeds, and wherever possible, we should water them. I love that saying, you know, we're called to preach the gospels, and wherever possible, we should use words. Our actions speak so much louder than our words, because often people are already, you know, got their view of church and view of Christians, which has been tainted by the church, some churches, and unfortunately, but that happens in all aspects of life. We're not immune to the world. We're in it. But I've got no idea where I was going with that. I think the Lord just said, get on with it, Jed. You're going off somewhere else. But to see that change in him. So when we do things, we're not necessarily going to change the world, but we're going to change somebody's world. And it's all about that one person. If in all our lives we all just get one or two people to salvation, that multiplies and multiplies if we keep on doing it. So never think that anything you're doing for someone is insignificant, because it might just be that one time that you gave $5 to the beggar on the street without judging him, or that one time you chucked a gift card in somebody's letterbox without even telling them who it's from, because you knew they're doing harm. Those things are life-changing for people. And I'm just in awe of how many people over time, you know, we've had people come and die and things like that. But we know during that time with us, they got to see Jesus. They got to see unconditional love. And that's how we operate at the Father's table. We do church outside, that way people can be down the back having a beer and a durry, but they're still hearing the message. And that's fine by us. Occasionally we have a bird fly through and nearly take us out or something like that. It's always interesting. Nearly got taken out by one last week. And you know, occasionally you've got to stop for the plane going over and all that. But the fact is that our church is so open that we don't have walls. The walls are the universe for us. And people hear the message. And in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, I believe that's where you're all up to. I hope you are. Otherwise, Jeff has just made a real fool of me. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Sorry, I've got a really dry mouth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that's so true. I know this to be true, because it's in the Bible. I know this to be true, because Jesus says it. I know it's really, really true, because it's normally printed in red, which says it's really, really, really true. So I've printed in red here, Fred's salvation is a treasure stored up in heaven. Yeah. And what a... Sorry, I'm a bit of a salt. Most people know. Well, that was nearly let fly with a cry. Fred said, and that doesn't help when you're trying to read your notes. Fred's salvation is a treasure stored up in heaven, and what a glorious treasure that is. See, that's my treasure. That's our church's treasure. It's Fred's treasure for sure. But above all else, our treasures are what God treasures most. And that's us, people. People are the greatest treasures that God has. People should be the greatest treasure that we have, apart from Jesus, obviously. But people should be our greatest treasure. We should be always looking at ways of doing things for people. We're called to give. Julianne Denham always says it's hand over hand. When it comes in, it should go back out again. I don't want a church bank account or my own bank account personally that always goes up. I think it should look like a heartbeat. Sometimes it flat lines. Often we're in a, you know, you can't go away. You can't have a break. But that's how our bank accounts should be. Because one of the best things we can do is giving, like giving into our own church. Because you guys give into the Coast community, your giving is partnering with feeding people that you will never meet in a church that you will probably never go to, in a church that probably wouldn't suit you. Because not all churches are the same. Ours is very different to a lot of people. We had some people come once and they're like deers in the headlights with their eyes. That we saw them that one week and I thought, well, they'll find a church that suits them. That's why the body is so different everywhere, because we're trying to connect with so many different types of people. As I said, when I looked like that, I felt so uncomfortable in so many churches, but my salvation came through people here not looking at that. They came to the caravan park I was living in, handing out free meals on a Friday night, unconditional love, which led to that transformation. That's the transformation Fred saw, is that we didn't judge him for where he was at. We didn't judge him in his homelessness. We don't judge people when they come up there and they're off their meds, and man, can that be a ride. I tell you what, you get some insightful stuff. And it worries me that I used to be like that when I was on the drugs. I'm thinking, oh, no wonder people thought I was a loony. Still am, actually. Nothing. I saw Dale chuckling down here like that. Nothing's changed. We're not always called to just give out of our comfort zone. God wants us to be uncomfortable but comfortable in our giving. If we're only giving out of abundance, then we're missing the point. You know, I'm not saying that we go out and go into debt. You know, I've heard of people using their credit cards to live up the expectations of others and shit. Wrong thing. But we need to trust God that His word about our treasures in heaven are true. If we're all about the stuff and the having here and not about the giving and doing for when we get there, then we've got to ask about face. Can I say ask in this church? Because I just said it twice. Got a few other choice words, which I hope I don't use. Lord, forgive me. I remember being in this church down here and the first time I was, as I said, I was addicted. I had no money. I was struggling. I'd get my pension. I was on a pension for 10 years. And I'd get my money, and the first thing I'd do is go buy a 2 weeks' worth of shopping, and then I'd go and buy some drugs, then I'd go home, and I'd have a smoke at the pot, and I'd eat 2 weeks' worth of food, and the things like that, and living in this cycle of horridness. But when I came, I always wanted to give something, and I was always just putting what I had left, whatever I had left. And the first time I put a folding note in, I thought, how wonderful that is, isn't that good? But the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, Jed, I loved it before. You gave me your life savings every week. It's not about how much you give, it's where you give it from. You know, it's the generous giver. It's not holding on to things so tight. And as I said, you've got to be smart in your giving, but you've got to be trusting in your giving. You've got to understand that God's currency is totally different to ours. He promises to clothe us. He promises to feed us. He promises all these things, and when we're called to give, give. It's that simple. If you're walking past somebody begging on the side of the street, and you feel called to give, but you go, oh no, they're just going to buy grog, what's that got to do with you? That's not up to you. You don't make that choice. Give anyway. And this is where our treasures are, because in that moment, with the time you give somebody a smile on a train, you hold the door open for someone, they're treasures that you're storing up in heaven. They're demonstrating an unselfish act where we're doing for others, big and small, and everywhere in between. It's okay to pray more, pray for more, as long as you're not praying for more out of greed for yourself. I pray for more so I can do more giving and living. Absolutely, I want to bless myself with trips away. I do now, but I've got to work my hiney off. I won't mention arse again. I've got to work my backside off to get there. I'm just watching Lisa's face. It's like, it's worthy of being banned for another 12 months. It's more, as I said, it's okay to pray for more as long as your heart's in the right place. It's giving and living and doing. Because we're called to enjoy this life, enjoy it abundantly. And slowly and with a lot of work, we're doing that. We're going to places. We're seeing things. It's not always easy. Sometimes the devil gets him in the head and stop supporting that project in Kenya or stop doing this and have more money for yourself and have more time. Stop working as much and have more time to do these things and stuff like that. But I believe, and I'm not putting tickets on myself, I believe it's God's timing for all of that. At the moment, getting smashed with chips. Well, maybe that's God providing. I wish he'd provide a lotto win, but at this stage, I'll just keep on working. I remember being in Hillsong Conference one year. I went down there in Sydney when it was huge. And they were talking about the many thousands of Compassion Kids that they sponsor. I think it was 38,000 or 48,000 the church was sponsoring. And some of the good works they do. And I remember saying, oh, Lord, come on. Give me some really great resources so I can do some really great things. And he spoke to me that moment. And he says, you don't need great resources to do great things. You need to do great things with the resources you already have. And that was brought me down again, humbled me. It's not up to me, it's up to him. He's giving me what I need for do what he needs. You know, maybe he's concerned I'm going to run amok. Probably, for a little while. Be generous but be wise. Don't go into debt, giving away bill money. But we are called to give and trust in the Lord. We may, as I said, we may not change the world, but can change somebody's world. Like Fred, we're blessed to be a blessing. And going back to the Bible passage, do not store up for yourselves. This mortal world will come to an end. And when it does, all of its treasures will be lost forever. Do not store up your treasures here. If you're really working hard to leave a lot for your kids, you're working hard for the wrong reasons, I think. I think we should be working hard to bless others now while we're alive. What joy it is to give to people. When you're giving, you're investing in the kingdom. As I mentioned before, you guys are here, but you're feeding people in Wyong. You're providing a gift card to somebody who's called from Gosford. You're supporting someone else that we might be over at Baddow Bay, paying bills for them. You might be supporting us. We've got a project having at the moment. We've got a woman we're working with to get a car because she's got three kids and just she's been on this amazing journey of transformation, and we're hoping to get her a little minivan in the near future. By giving to us, that's what you're doing through Coast Community Care. Coast Community Care is doing those things and you're part of that. So you're doing those things. You're walking alongside us. Jesus teaches to store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Heaven is a place where a treasure's value is never lost. Treasures that are stored up there have neither moth nor rust to ruin them. There are no thieves in heaven to break in or spoil the value of such treasures. Heaven is an immortal world and an everlasting kingdom. All of its treasures will forever be cherished and accrued value. Store up your treasures there. I can't wait. Don't take that as I want to go there. Not today, Lord. But I can't wait to the day that I get to heaven and find out what treasures were stored up in my lifetime. What treasures, little moments of things that have been done that have been stored up there. I really want to get there and say, Jesus, to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And to see you all, you guys there, before me. See, we're not called to just... might not be called to just give into our own ministries. We might be called to go beyond those. You know, we're involved in some projects in Kenya and ending sex slave stuff in Thailand and something else in the Philippines and a few other things here, there and everywhere. And because we can. You know, I sometimes go to the shop and buy something stupid that I don't really need and I think, wow, that's a month's salary for the guys in Kenya. We've just been in the process of building a bee farm. been a long project, a long time coming with COVID and all that sort of thing, but we're building a beef farm, which is then going to fund the other projects we've got going on over there, which they're working with widows, stopping them from going into the sex trade, training them up to do sewing and things like that. We'll employ people in the bee farm where they're dealing with alcoholics. We've got our four main guys on the ground over there. And next year Sue and I are hoping to see them, but that's stuff that we will likely never see. But we've stored it up. And in one way it is kind of, I'm not going to use the word selfish, but it is about us. Because this is all about us. God cares about each of us in an individual journey. And when we're acting in the body of Christ and we're sowing into the kingdom and we're sharing God's words and we're doing things that Jesus wants us to do, when we're saying yes, even though you don't want to leave your church, I'm not saying everyone should leave, don't leave Lisa if next week no one turns up, they all went to do something else. That's what I'm saying. But if Jesus comes on your heart and says, do it. No matter how much it hurts. And it hurt to leave here. But, as you said, this is still my family. It hurt to leave here, but these are still my friends. These are still my family. But we're blessed and be blessed. Who knows how many times already today I've been blessed. Opening my eyes was the first one. Having a roof over my head, there's the second. Having a coffee to wake up, it's the third one. How many times did the Lord bless me on the way here that he made me 1 second late or 1 second later, 1 second early or 1 second late, to miss that car accident or to hit that nail or to do any of the things that could happen. Jesus is telling us where our heart should be. It's not only a wise investment to store lasting treasures through obedience to God and seeking to please him, it also properly orients your heart. Jesus reveals that a core reason for his disciples should store up treasures in heaven is because of this truth, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That lines up with you can't serve two gods. You can't have money ruling your life, but you can be using money to enhance lives. And enhance your life. I'm not saying at all that it's wrong to have a nice car, it's wrong to have a nice home. But sometimes I see these preachers, particularly in America, with their $100 million assets and things like that, and I'm thinking, oh, for goodness sakes. You know, they're asking for finances to buy themselves another personal jet. I'm thinking, walk if you have to. You don't need a personal jet. Go on Jetstar with the rest of us in cattle class. It's abundance annoys me sometimes because people greed over need, I think, is a real issue in this world. And we have to start looking at need, not greed. We have to make sacrifices going without. We could have more, we could do more. I could have more time off work, I could go and run up Nelson Bay for the weekend or things like that, but that's not what I'm called to do. I'm called to do God's work, and when he wants us to do that, he would make that happen. Without us also, as I said, being wise. We need to walk around looking for opportunities. Don't walk around with your blinkers on. Walk around and if just listening to say, Lord, if you've got someone you need me to do something for today, just let me know. That blessing, that investment in your future, eternity, might just be holding a door for someone because they've had a crappy morning. They might be in a destructive relationship. They might be hating on people in the world. And you show them that one act of kindness can bring a smile to their day. Pay for the person in the Macca's line behind you. I don't go to Macca's anymore. I'm doing keto. Thanks, darling wife. I love it. You've got to love a diet that includes bacon and pork rind, though. Hey, apparently you're not supposed to do it to excess, but we'll work on that one. So we'll look around looking for opportunities. Sow into your own church. Sow into the offering bag. Sow into, do it online. Set it up. Do whatever. If you hear something in church that the church is involved, we'll support it. Get behind it. The least, which is actually the most thing you can do, is pray for that. Be praying for that ministry. If somebody says something that offends you, forgive them. That's stored up in heaven the minute you forgive someone. Ask them to forgive you if you need to. Walk in Jesus' footsteps. I often, and I'll finish on this note before we go into communion because I'm probably close to time. Random acts of kindness. And I broke it down to God's work. Giving or doing stuff which offers random kindness. God's work. Look for opportunities. Participate. Be involved. Don't be ashamed if you haven't got a lot. Give what you can, because that's a lot. That's huge. It's much bigger for us to give $10 than it is for a millionaire to give a million. You know, and they said about Donald Trump how wonderful he was. He gave $1 million or something like that to some cause. And everyone's praising him how wonderful he is. And I worked it out, and that's about $40 in my world. And I thought, that's not really that significant. But good on him for giving. I'm not judging on how much he gave, but I just thought we've got to get our priorities right on where it comes from, the heart that it comes from. And if you do those things, if you're working there through Matthew, what we just read, if you're working through Matthew and you're doing God's work and you're storing up in heaven and you're showing Jesus' love, showing Jesus' compassion, loving on the unlovable, forgiving the unforgivable, and forgiving yourself, you got it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. No tomatoes or eggs from the Fotheringhams? No? You behaved? I've been asked to lead into communion too. Jeff asked me. So I believe you guys come down and get your own communion. Is that right? Yep. Cool. Get up. And pick up your mat. Can you see that on that boat again? Oh, thank you, Dan.
How are you?
Good.
I want you to pray for us, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Normally I get forgotten at our church. Everyone's ready to take communion. I'm going, well, you forgot the guy up front. While you're getting your communion, the worship was wonderful this morning. Love that first song. I was going to ask you what it's called, but I reckon there's going to be something stupid like the Lord's Prayer. And I didn't want to look like a dummy. We're going to pinch that one and use it. Yeah. Our little worship team's grown. We've now got what we call the Four Amigos. They're up there with the guitars, and a lot of our worship songs end up having a bit of a country vibe. It's really cracking. I've already got one, thanks.
Take two.
One for each nostril. Okay. Yeah. Got to inhale Jesus. Hey, once again, just thanks, guys, for allowing me to come and share with you and share the great things that you guys are doing in our little world. And it's as we're taking communion, it blows my mind that somebody thousands of years ago would die for me today. We're not worshipping a statue. We're not worshipping a thing. We're worshipping a living being, because Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. He lives in us. He indwells us as the Holy Spirit. And I just find it so comforting that in my loneliest times, I can turn to Jesus. In my weakest moments, he knows everything about me already, which freaks me out at times. I'm thinking, I wish, don't like that. And then when we have the opportunity, so we can take communion 100 times a day if we choose to. It's not a requirement. It's not a religious need within our church environment. But it's a demonstration of the truth. And that is that Jesus died thousands of years ago for us today. For our relatives past and present and future. And who knows how long the future's for. The way the world's going, I think we need more and more Jesus, because there's more and more going on. And as we take this, I just encourage you, if you haven't already given your life to Jesus, I want you to pray, that if you choose, to pray the most powerful prayer as you take this and say, help. I choose to believe in you. I choose to discover you. So it's all a choice. This is a choice. I don't have to take this today. I choose to, because I choose Jesus. And by doing this, it's an outward demonstration of our inner self. It's an outward demonstration of our inner change. So Heavenly Father, as we take communion today, may we have a renewed belief and trust and faith in you. Father, we do really thank Jesus going to the cross all those thousands of years ago for us sinners unworthy from the day we're born, but made worthy through the blood of Christ. Father, as we take the juice, we acknowledge that spilt blood. And as we take the bread, we acknowledge the body. As we take them in, we're inviting Jesus to indwell us, to live through us, to speak to us, to guide us, to always be with us, and to teach us how to be more like him, so that we store up in heaven your will that we do here on earth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.